Hi, my name is Frankie. Thank you for listening to Two My Mom. I never listen.
That's my man, Frankie Antonelli. Tell him the truth, because he does not listen. Oh, well, that's the life of mother of three. Hey, welcome to Nothing But Net with Debbie Antonelli. I'm so glad that you decided to join and listen. I am fresh off of Tara 1099, her win over Pacific, which makes her the all-time winningest coach in the history of women's basketball. It's an incredible achievement, passing the late, great Pat Summitt. It was so fun to be in Stockton, California at the University of Pacific. Beth Mowins and I had the call for ESPN, and we were thrilled to be a part of this kind of history with one of the class people in our game. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about that experience and take you a little bit behind the scenes of what went on in preparation and how we got ready to tell the stories inside that game and tell you a few stories that made the air, tell you a few that we didn't get on the air. It was a Friday decision before Tuesday that we would call this game. We were very excited to be a part of it. At ESPN, you know, we've had these home models where we've been doing things at home in our own home broadcast studios. But the magnitude of this game warranted us being there and warranted a full-blown production. And that's exactly what ESPN did. They are great caretakers of our sport. I know it's my employer, but there were several people that went out of their way to make sure that this game got on television and that the nation could share this game and share what we know inside basketball is Tara Vandeveer's greatness. And so the management team at ESPN, what a fantastic job. Okay, so I am fresh off the red eye. I was supposed to have a game tonight, but I thought it was that game I had was the LSU men's game and got canceled. So I took the red eye last night. I drove from Stockton to San Francisco, got on a red eye, flew through Newark ahead of the storm that's hitting the East Coast, and got home about 1:30 and prepped for my LSU game tonight, which canceled. That allowed us time to really break it down here for what went on and spend some time talking about the great Tara Vandeveer. Now, Tara's the head coach of Stanford. She's been there for 35 years. 42 years overall, she's been a head coach when you count the stints that she had at Idaho and at Ohio State. She took us down memory lane yesterday quite a bit, and it was really fun to be around her. Now, before I dive into some stories, let me tell you about the number one team in the country. And some props to the University of Pacific, who gave them a really good first half. Tara certainly made adjustments in the second half, and the size, the length, the skill, the wear down factor of the depth, which Tara thinks this is the deepest team she may have had. You could see that it took its toll on Pacific, who is going to be a very good contender in the West Coast Conference. So props to Bradley Davis and their first class manner in which they handled the presentation post game with a sign on the board and with giving Tara the game ball. Now, when I got to the arena about 2.5 before tip, there was already a sign on the board at the University of Pacific that said, "Congratulations, Tara, on becoming the all-time winningest coach." So I think they were practicing their post-game. And I did snap a picture of it, but I decided that it would be in bad taste to tweet it out because I didn't want to embarrass the University of Pacific. And I certainly didn't want their players to see that maybe, that they didn't think they were going to win. But honestly, nobody really thought they were going to win. And I spent time at practice the day before at the University of Pacific. I went over to watch their two-hour workout, and they couldn't be more gracious and more excited about having Stanford there. And it was really kind of fun to be around that. So here's the thing about the team. I think in the second half, the biggest adjustment was Haley Jones initiating on the top of the floor with her size and length. She leads them in scoring at nearly 20 points a game. She's their best rebounder at 9 a game. She's shooting 73% from the floor, and that is not all layups. She's a phenomenal athlete. She's the former number one player out of high school 2 years ago. She missed part of last year with an injury. They're really good. They're long, They're athletic. We know Fran Beliebe makes you want to say, you better Beliebe. She's going to dunk because she is very skilled. She has a 6'8 wingspan with her 6'1 frame. She has a 31.5-inch vertical. I mean, come on, people. That's ridiculous. And she is only going to continue to get better. I think by the time she graduates, she will be the best player in the pinch that Tara has ever had running their Princeton offense, which means getting the ball to the elbows and making a play from there. The Hall sisters can shoot it. Kiana Williams had a much better floor game, a much better shooting game. And you can see that they are really good. They played well enough to win. They scored 104 points. And I'm sure Tara Vandeveer saw plenty of areas where they could improve. And one of the things that I really like about something she told me before the game was they have 12 goals. If you're a coach and you're listening to this, you better listen to this and you better write it down, because this is really impressive to me that she took the last 10 years of the teams that went to the Final Four and averaged out 12 different statistics. And she uses those as goals to measure her team so that they can be a Final Four team. This is the profile of what a Final Four team looks like. This is what they do from the floor. This is what they do from the line. This is their defensive rebounding. This is their assist turnover ratio. I mean, she goes through the whole thing with her team and sets these 12 goals. So I don't know how many goals they accomplished after the game against Pacific last night, because I'm doing this podcast less than 24 hours after Tara accomplished the ultimate goal of being the all-time winningest coach. I think that they probably didn't make a lot of their goals, but to be honest with you, once we got to halftime of the game and Stanford had an 11-point lead, the stats machine broke and they didn't have stats broadcast. So me and Moens were not worried about the numbers. So if you're going to ask me who did what in the game, I'm not going to be able to tell you, because we spent so much time celebrating Tara and sharing stories. And honestly, it was a different kind of game in a different environment that deserved and merited those kinds of stories. So they're really good and they're continuing to get better. And I can't wait to see how Tara molds them into one of her better teams that she's ever had. So, you know, in Tara fashion, I'm spending the day yesterday calling all these people. I'm contacting Kim Mulkey and Dawn Staley and Muffet McGraw to get a quote on what it would mean to see Tara accomplish this and what Tara means to the game. And every coach immediately responded with some words or a text that allowed me to put some graphics together. Beth Mullins was doing the same thing. She was able to get Gino and Rebecca Lobo and get their information so we could use it on the broadcast. But I also talked to Jennifer Azey, and I talked to Vanessa Nygaard. I talked to Heidi Vandeveer, who's the head coach of San Diego, who's Tara's youngest sister. I talked to Billy Moore. I had an incredible day speaking to all these wonderful people in our game, going down memory lane with all these incredible stories. So I'm not going to go through all the stories that stuck out to me. I'm just going to give you a couple of highlights. And one was Jennifer Azey saying that when she chose Stanford over Tennessee, that every time she came back in the summer to work out, Pat Summitt gave her the keys to Thompson Bowling Arena, that she could go in and work out anytime she wanted. And that personifies first class. Stanford and Tennessee didn't start playing until Jennifer chose Stanford, and it was Tara's way to bring her back home for that home game that you like to take your players to. And then it started the series. And from there, Pat was 22-6 overall against Tara. And so she won more than she lost. And Jennifer couldn't have been more gracious about how smart and brilliant and how much fun it was to play for Tara. Now, when we mentioned to Tara before the game that we had spoken to Jennifer and we started talking about shooting the three, and, you know, Tara said to Jennifer when the 3-point line came in, which was Jennifer's sophomore year, Jennifer decided that, you know, she needed to become a better shooter. Tara said she wasn't that great of a shooter, but she worked at it and she became better because she put the time in. And in classic Tara form, AZ says, when the 3-point line came in, Coach Vandeveer says, well, three's more than two, so I guess we ought to shoot some threes. And they started shooting threes, and that was the start of you know, the three-point weapon being so important, and it really helped Stanford win their 90 and 92 national championships. Now, one story that didn't get on the air is something that Tara told us about Jennifer Azee. Azee was obviously a workaholic and incredibly dedicated and hardworking. One time, Tara was at home and she was sick. She was physically sick, and she was throwing up and had the flu really badly. And Jennifer called her and said, "Coach, can you come over here and rebound? I want to work on my shot." Well, Tara said yes, even though she could barely manage getting to the gym. She goes in the gym, and Jennifer had this shooting drill. It was the same shooting drill that everybody does. You know, seven spots from outside the arc. And Jennifer wanted to make 8 out of 10 before she could move. And if she didn't make 8 out of 10, she would have to start over. So Tara's in there rebounding for her. And I mean, think of that. This is probably 1987 or 88. And here's your head coach in the gym rebounding. I wonder how many head coaches rebound for their players when they call them and say, "Will you come and rebound?" I hope you do. But Tara went in the gym, and she's like, every time, Azee would count, and she's like, "Okay, that's 8. And Jennifer would say, "No, really, it was 7. And then she'd miss the next one. They have to start all over again. And Tara was visibly sick. And so it was just kind of funny listening to her tell that story. Katie Ledecky and Simone Manuel are two swimmers that are Olympians, that are world record holders, that Tara swims with every day at Stanford. And she drops their names like it's no big deal. It's just funny to hear her talk about Katie Ledecky, who sent her a nice email before the game and said, you know, congratulations. And Tara's response was, "Well, you know something about records." And it's just funny to hear her cadence on it, because she's just so funny and matter of fact and very subtle about the way she approaches things. Okay. And then another story is, she got her phone was blowing up. She said, "My phone's blowing up so much, I think somebody wrote my name on a bathroom wall somewhere." You know, which is funny to hear her say that. She said Billie Jean King texted her, but she didn't have her in her contacts. So when she said, "Congratulations," and Tara's like, "Thank you. Who is this?" "Well, it's Billie Jean King." Well, Tara was all excited that Billie Jean King, who, you know, is one incredible champion for women in many different ways, was so excited for Tara to achieve that milestone. I had been calling all these people all morning, and I had not spoken to Coach Vandeveer. And I was on the phone, and she popped up on my phone, and I took the call. She spent 40 minutes with me talking to me about Idaho and Ohio State and the time that she had there, about her family and how much they mean to her, about how that morning, in a very emotional email she had received from some of her buddies back at Lake Chautauqua in upstate New York. Now, Tara has a house at Lake Chautauqua, has all the toys that you would have possibly need for water sports and bikes. And it's a very laid back environment where she water skis in the morning when she's up there. She reads, she sits on her front porch, she goes to lectures. And come on, let's face it, like, Tara's only recruiting 5 or 6 kids every year. So it's not like she needs to be beaten down the recruiting trail. She's got 5 or 6 on her mind. She's got time to refresh and re-energize. So she goes to Lake Chautauqua. And I found out that Lake Chautauqua has a Sports Hall of Fame. And of course, Tara is in it. So the guys that sent her this video was a video that she had never seen before. It was her dad, who was battling cancer during the 1996 Olympics. He could not attend the Olympics in Atlanta. And someone from Chautauqua videotaped him watching the last few minutes of the gold medal game, watched Tara celebrate with her teammates, handed him a bottle of champagne, and they celebrated in Chautauqua. And Tara was so excited to see that. She sent it to her whole family, and she couldn't believe, because she hadn't heard her dad's voice in 23 years. And it really choked her up that morning. So it was pretty impressive to listen to her still tell that story about what actually her dad and her family means to her. And then, of course, we did get this one on the air, which is just absolutely phenomenal, that forever Tara wanted to make sure that the game meant something besides just the record, that she wanted something special to happen on this particular game. And she said the most fun about the record is all the people that have reached out to her. And she said that She plans to donate $10 for every win, which would be $10,990, to the local food bank. And the connection there is 1 in 6 people go hungry in America. She knew all the stats. She is very philanthropic. It's not just the food bank. It's a pet rescue in NorCal. It's the Women's Sports Foundation. She has started a new fund at the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame called the Champions for Excellence that she has started and will help many projects moving forward to continue to preserve the Hall of Fame. She's a leader in giving, and the donation to the food bank comes in part because long time ago, when Tara was on her first job as an assistant coach at Ohio State, she didn't get paid anything to be the assistant, and she had no money, and she was on food stamps. So to think about what she has meant, what she has built, what she has grown, how she's impacted and affected the lives of many people, men and women, all across the country, how she's loved the game and has loved her teams and has enjoyed helping other coaches, especially young women, which is an important passion for her. It was just remarkable to be a part of that whole experience. So there's a lot more to that, but basically to get to call that moment in time in the history of our game is always important to me. People ask me all the time, what's the best moment? What's the best story? What is your best experience? And I usually say, anytime somebody's cutting down the nets, because I know how hard the journey is for teams to be able to get to that point. So what I decided to do now is to have a little fun and sort of change tempo a little bit, because I think Tara is amazing. And I think she's done a lot in our game. And I think some of the opportunities that I have had in my 33 years as a broadcaster and the milestone games that I have been able to be a part of had led me to this creative idea. Listen to this. This is my wheel. Now, this wheel has, we're going to call it the milestone wheel. I don't even know. I'm just making it up on the fly. This is what happens when you're up all night on a red eye. You just make stuff up. On this wheel, there are 12 spots. And I have written down all the milestone games that I have been a part of. And I'm going to spin the wheel, and it's going to land on one of these milestones. And I'm going to tell you a story about that milestone and my experience with that game. So let me give an example of what's on there. Jody Conrad, 900 wins. Pat Summitt, 900 wins. Pat Summitt, 1,000 wins. Gino Auriemma, 1,000 wins. Muffet McGraw, 700. Pat, 880, passing Dean Smith. C. Vivian Stringer getting 900. John Wooden, a story there. Tara all time. I just told a couple. I could tell more if we land on that spot. Roy Williams, I have a story, the head coach of the University of North Carolina. Kay Yao, my coach, the year 2007. There is a variety of stories I can pick from that year and the experiences that I've had calling milestone games. Lauren Hill, the Lauren Hill game has a story. And then, of course, Jackie Stiles. Got to have Jackie Stiles on the wheel just because. So I'm going to spin the wheel. And let me give you a background on this wheel. Now, this wheel is impressive. We got this wheel years ago because with three boys, sometimes we couldn't decide what we're going to have for dinner, where we're going to go to eat. And we argue and fuss, and nobody wants to go to the same place. And one guy says two guys would vote for one place, and the other guy would get voted out, and the other guy would be like, well, I'm not eating. So instead of having this bad attitude and bad body language creep in over what would be a family meal and a night out to eat, my husband bought this wheel. And we put 12 dinner spots on it. And when we commit to spin the wheel, whatever the wheel lands on, that's where we go. Everyone eats, no complaining. Well, now I'm turning the wheel into the milestone wheel. So I'm going to give it a spin. My producer extraordinaire, B-Mac, has got his watchful eye on me. So here goes the spin, and whatever it lands on, that's the story we're going to tell. Oh, Pat Summitt, 900. Okay. So here's the story about Pat Summitt, 900 wins. January of 2006, Pat's going for win number 900 against Vanderbilt in Nashville. Now, I had never been in a traffic jam before around women's basketball. It's the first time I'd ever been somewhat late to a game because I got stuck in traffic. There was so much traffic for this game, people trying to get in and out of Memorial Coliseum, parking and all that around the Vanderbilt campus. So 900 wins that morning. No one has won that many games. Okay. This is going to be the most that anyone has ever won. And this game is on Fox. So I get up that morning and all of a sudden I have a little bit of anxiety about, I don't want to mess up this moment. If they win and I do the post game interview, I want to make sure I nail it. So sometimes in our business, we rehearse some things to make sure we get it right. Sometimes we go with the flow. I'm never one that wings it. I always have some thought. But when you're doing a post-game interview, you always have to ask a question. So what happens at Vanderbilt is Pat Summitt's team, Tennessee, is down double digits. They make this incredible comeback. The arena is half orange, half black. Tennessee fans are in there. Everyone knows this is a big game. And of course, this is a big rival as well. And the way, you know, if you've been in Memorial Coliseum, you know, Vanderbilt's famous for having the benches on the end. And as broadcasters, we sit below the floor so that the court is kind of like at chin level. So the game ends, Tennessee wins. And now I have to get up on top of the court, which is like getting up on the stage, to interview Pat. I have never been involved in paparazzi before. And what happened was I went up one end, Tennessee was on the other end, and Pat and I are sort of walking towards each other to meet at midcourt. And as we're getting closer to midcourt, there had to have been 30 or 40 cameras, lights, people, and all of a sudden they converged on us. And it was like the paparazzi. It was like flashing lights, people on top of us, no security or pushback. They literally were right on top of us. And I panicked because I got scared about making a mistake. Anyway, I don't even know what I asked Pat, but we got through the interview. And when we got done, she poked at me a little bit because she knew I was nervous. But it was an incredible milestone. No one had won that many games. And I was so proud to be a part of that particular night with her. Now, here's a story that I've never told. Post game, I had already planned to drive Billy Moore from Nashville to Knoxville. This was on a Thursday night. So Friday was going to be my travel day to a game in the Big 12, which was actually at Texas Tech in Lubbock. So I had already made arrangements to have my travel and my flight out of Knoxville on Friday. So after the game, I was going to go back to Knoxville and Billy and I were going to ride together. Pat was going to ride with the team. Well, mid-afternoon, Billy Moore calls me and says, plans changed. We're not riding back together. Pat's got a couple of friends that are driving over from Knoxville. You and I are going to hop in the car with them and we're going to ride with them back to Knoxville. So I'm like, well, I've got a rental car. She's like, well, you need to get rid of it. Well, the timeline on all this was really tight. And that's part of the reason why I was late to the arena for the game. But the game ends. We get in the car. Here's my experience in the car with Pat. She's the all-time winningest coach with 900 wins. We're driving back from Nashville to Knoxville. There's five of us in the car. I'm in the car with Pat, Billy Moore, who is the great, all-time great Olympic coach in 76, Naismith Hall of Famer. Everybody knows Billy Moore. Billy is Pat's mentor, and they spend a lot of time breaking the game down, talking hoops. It's a wonderful experience to be around them. And two of Pat's friends. We're driving, and as we're driving, Pat's phone is blowing up with all these celebrity people calling her, congratulating her on 900. I mean, the list goes on and on. Billy Donovan, Steve Spurrier. I mean, football people from Tennessee, Peyton Manning, I mean, on and on, like her phone, and she's answering these texts, the calls, the voicemails with her speaker on so we can all hear. And it was pretty exciting to listen to it. But one of the calls that came in was Gail Gestenkors from Duke. Congratulations, Pat, 900 wins. Duke just happened to be the next opponent that Tennessee was going to play. So while we're listening to all these calls come in, now, of course, Pat's focus starts turning halfway there towards Duke and preparing for Duke and getting ready for 901. Okay. Well, I'm sitting in the back seat and I'm going, well, you might have won 900, but you're not going to get 901 at Cameron. And let me just preface this with, Pat kept me around because I was a smart aleck. I know that was one of the reasons why I went from the pool house to the main house, is because I didn't BS her. You know, we had a great relationship, but she also enjoyed that snarky and that little salty that I would bring to whatever our conversation was. So I'm forever grateful that she allowed me to do that. Now, keep in mind, this is just one story on the 12-story wheel right here that I'm telling. That's why we're only telling one. 900 wins. So I'm telling Pat all the things about Duke, because I had covered Duke a lot, and I was very familiar with their team, and I knew their personnel. And I'm going through position by position. Well, you're not going to win the point guard matchup. Well, you're not going to win the two guard. Well, I think the three player at Duke is better. Well, you might win the four. You might win the glass. She is listening to me, and she's looking at me like, I have lost my mind. She just won 900. She's the all-time winningest coach, and I'm trying to tell her that, well, you're not going to win the next one. So we stop to get gas, get something to drink, go to the restroom. When we come out, I'm the last. There's five of us, but I'm the last one that goes in. They all go to the restroom. They all come out. I'm the last one. When I come out of the restroom, I look and the car's gone. Pat Summitt told her friends to drive around to the other side of the building so it would look like they left me, because I was running my mouth about her not going to win 901 at Duke. So anyway, it was pretty funny because that's Pat. And she's a prankster. You know, she was basically putting me in my place. So when we get back in the car, there's not too much more conversation from me about why they're not going to win, except for she might ask me a couple questions. But here's what's really great and interesting about Pat. And I'm not trying to say that I'm right, because I'm not always right. But they went to Cameron and they lost. And Pat called me and she said that she loved the fact that I would tell her exactly what I thought. And it wasn't about being right or about being wrong. I think that was what she appreciated, was she loved the game. She loved people's insight. She respected that I would say the things that I said to her about her team and about the matchup. And that was it. And we moved on. But it was a really fun experience. It's what I think about when I think about Pat winning 900, which made her, you know, no one had gotten to that number. You know, she actually passed Dean Smith earlier when she went over 880. And when she went over 880, that was in March of 2005. So it was really within the year that she had accomplished both of those milestones. And that 880 win and milestone is on the board. And that will be a story for another time, because this was fun to go down memory lane based on Tara becoming the all-time winningest coach in the history of women's basketball, that somebody like me, who loves the game and is a gym rat, could have the experiences that I've had with the milestones with some of the all-time great coaches and people in the history of our game. So thank you for listening to Nothing But Net with Debbie Antonelli. This was a recap of Stanford and Tara Vanderveer becoming the all-time winningest coach. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for the username at NBN with DA. That's Nothing But Net with Debbie Antonelli. You can ask us a question at askantonelli@gmail.com. So send us your emails. You can listen and subscribe to Nothing But Net with Debbie Antonelli to all the places that you get your podcast. And I'd like to thank you for listening. Now, I also want to thank my partners. We got sponsored partners on our podcast. We're very excited about our partnership. The Field of 68, we're excited to be a part of their lineup. But most importantly, Coach Paint, if you haven't seen the hashtag DNelly Scout, on my social media account, which is at Debbie Antonelli. You need to check it out because we're breaking down some of the best players in women's college basketball. And we want to thank our friends at Coach Paint for helping us break those down and put on some incredible telestration and paint on top of the clips. And then also I want to thank my great partner, Dr. Dish. Dr. Dish is a partner of mine in my Special Olympic fundraiser. And they are my longtime partner and friend. And if you need some information on a Dr. Dish shooting machine, go to drdishbasketball.com. If you mention this podcast and you're interested in buying, they'll take $300 off your purchase of a machine based on listening to this podcast. So thank you so much. What an incredible night. I'm fresh off the red eye. I've had an experience of a lifetime sharing an incredible walk down memory lane with Tara Vandeveer, being on the call with Beth Mowins at ESPN, and having an incredible experience. But it's just fun to share with all of you. So thank you for listening. Send your questions. Check us out next time.